praise the Lord. I was studying and preparing and pulling from this source and that source for what I thought that I was going to teach, preach tonight. Been planning on it. And I come across some of this, and I'm like, oh, this needs to be before I do that. Amen. So here we are. We're talking about the Idol of Idols, part two. And I'll give you my subtitle here in a moment. Deuteronomy chapter number 6, verse number 24. The Lord commanded us to do all of these statutes. That word statutes just simply means the judgments. The Lord commanded us to do all of these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always. He commanded us to do some things, and he said, you may not understand it, but it's for your good. He said, you don't have to understand everything, but I'm just telling you, it's for your good. That he might preserve us alive as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us. Man, it's our righteousness if we obey. And if we obey, it's for our good. That's what he said. He said, it's for our good. Amen. He's got your good in mind. He's got positive things thinking towards you. Amen. And tonight, I want to teach for a little while about God's law involving myself. Amen. We're talking about the idol of idols, and this is God's law involving myself. Or you God's law pertaining to myself. Amen. But that's what it is. Lord Jesus, we love you today. Your word is powerful. Your word is right. Pray, God, that you would help us here tonight. Pray, God, that you would speak to us, deal with us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. God bless you. And you may be seated tonight, today. Amen. A little bit of a review from where we were last week, talking about the idol of idols. And in Genesis chapter number 3, we know that this is where that Eve and the serpent were having a conversation, and Eve asked, or serpent asked Eve, if the Lord had said that they should not eat of every tree. She said, "Oh, we can eat of every tree, but there's one that we can't touch it. And the day that we do, we shall surely die." The serpent said, "Nah, you're not gonna die." And he said it like this. He said, "For God doth know that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods." You shall be as gods. We understood that that was nothing new, because that's what Satan himself perceived or tried to do. And that he said, "I will exalt myself above the thrones of God. I will exalt myself above the stars of God." And he said, "I will be like the Most High." And he became an idol unto himself. And we know that the man of perdition in the end of time is going to be the spirit of the end time is going to be manifested by a man, even though that it's the spirit of iniquity doth already work among us. But we also know that spirit is going to be manifested. There's going to be the false prophet there as well, and it's going to be manifested through a man. And so we got all these figures of humanity and it fits in perfect that the idol of all idols is flesh. It is ourself. And that flesh loves to be praised and pampered. And it wants to feel good about things. And so you've got to make sure that you keep that flesh under subjection. We know that this self-idolization is a spirit of the end times. 2 Timothy 3 said, know this, that in the last days perilous times shall come. And then it listed all of these things about men and their self. It was men shall be lovers of their own selves. Men are going to be covetous. They're going to be boasters. They're going to be proud. They're going to be blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. In other words, just thinking of nobody but themselves. The word natural affection comes from the way that a parent would have care for a child. And without natural affection means that they don't have that. They don't have that. And they're just worried about them own selves. They're truce breakers, looking out for their own good, false accusers. Amen. Trying to get themselves to look good, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness. It's all about the pampering of one's self. Amen. The idolizing of one's self. Amen. Doing whatever you can to benefit yourself. Praise God. And so that is the idol of all idols is if we allow it, it is us. It's you. It's me. And so we've got to make sure that we stand guard against that. Praise God. And so we bring this into the lesson here tonight. And starting off, the Bible would say that he hath commanded us to do all of these statutes or these laws. A few weeks ago, we talked about ordinances and statutes and judgments, and we talked about the Hebrew word from that, the hok and the misfet and stuff. And so this plays right in with that. And so the Lord said, I have taught you these things. And the Lord commanded us to do all of these laws, fear the Lord our God, for our good. Praise God. Amen. You begin to talk about laws, people start getting a little bit antsy and a little bit tight and begin to squirm on the pew and pinch the babies and clip their fingernails and look at their phones and all of those other little things. Because you know why? It's because it immediately begins to rub the flesh the wrong way. Amen. There's not a whole lot of people that like to be told what to do. Amen. And that's why we are to be careful lest we become the idol of idols. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to do what I feel to do. Going to do when I want to do it. Going to go where I want to go. And it's all about I. You're not worried about anything else. Praise God. I had a man one time, he came up to me and he had fallen into sin. We were good friends. We still are good friends, but he had fallen into sin. And probably about 2 years later, we got together and we were talking and stuff. And he said, I need to apologize to you. And it was the first time that we had really broached the subject. And he said, I need to apologize to you. And I said, for what? What do you need to apologize to me for? And he said, I need to apologize to you for what I did. And I said, well, you didn't do anything to me. You know, I mean, he had committed adultery, you know, or fornication, somebody else. And I said, well, you didn't do anything to me. He said, no, I did. He said, you were my friend and I did not consider your friendship in all of this. He said, the only thing that I was doing was thinking about myself. Praise God. That's what adultery is. That's just thinking of yourself. That's what fornication is. That's what a lot of sin is. It's just thinking of yourself. You're not worried about anybody else. You don't care about anybody else's feelings. You don't care about if it's adultery, that individual, that parent doesn't care about their children's feelings, doesn't care about their children's future, doesn't care about what it's going to do to the family, nothing like that. Fornication's the same way. It doesn't care. It's just all about what I want. It's just what I want. This is what I want to do. And it's not just what I want. It's what I deserve. Amen. Praise God. Amen. That's that, carefully molding that idol, you know, pampering it, doing what you want to. We talked about that last week. We're going to talk about it a little bit more next week. Amen. So, but when we begin to talk about laws, it can get a little bit tight, because that begins to, you know, you begin to insinuate, you're telling me I can't do as I want to do. You know, it doesn't matter how you feel, you know, that, the speed limit is down by your house and, or down a certain road, and speed limit says it's 45, and you think to yourself, well, that's just ignorant. You know, there's no reason why this should be 45. It could be 55 with ease. And so if it should be 55, so I'm going to do 60. And so the cop pulls you over and tells you that he's got you for speeding and stuff. And you just tell him how ignorant that law is. Amen. Praise God. It ain't going to go over too well. Not that I've got experience in that. Amen. It's just not going to go over too well. Praise God. He's not interested. He doesn't care about how you feel about it. Amen. It's a law, and it's a law for a reason. Praise God. Amen. I travel in some of these little towns and stuff, and it's not just little towns, but it's got a decent road there and stuff like that, and the speed limit goes down to 40. And I was living in Houston, and I said, you know, our side roads go faster than this. Speed limit on our side roads is 55. Speed limit through this little town, four-lane highway, no light, no anything at all, and the speed limit's 40, 45 miles an hour. This is ignorant. Amen. But the cop's not going to worry, and he's not going to care, and he's not even going to ask how I feel about the laws of their town. Amen. Praise God. But let me talk to you just for a moment's time before we launch off into this about the laws that are found in our Bible. You could go to the book of Romans chapter number 7, and I don't have verse by verse, but it's down towards the end, but you would see several different laws that are spoken against. And so what I'm trying to enlighten you on and to help you to understand is that I don't care who you are, I don't care where you are in life, I don't care what walk you're walking, you will serve a law. Amen. You're going to serve a law. Romans 7, he spoke about the law of God, the law of my mind, the law of sin, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. All of those laws. Amen. Talked about the law of sin. Sin has a law. You are going to serve some kind of law. James looked at it a little bit differently, and he said it was the perfect law of liberty. Praise God. It's all in how you see it. It's all in how you look at it. And if you look at it as restriction and stuff, amen, then it's not going to feel very good. It's going to restrict you, and you're going to feel that. But you can look at it and say, you know what? This is the perfect law of liberty. Praise God. And so in our text, God does not give Israel laws because that he wants to make their lives miserable, but he gave them their laws because people naturally drift to whatever they want to do in the moment. Amen. I'm going to show you that here today, but he gave them laws, and you're going to have to talk to Brother Reagan about this, because he's the one that kind of got all the ball rolling and stuff. And all he did was make one statement, and he made this one statement. He said, "A people without laws are not a nation." Doesn't matter who, doesn't matter where it is. A people without laws are not a nation. And everybody's looking at America and said, oh, we want to be free. And so we're going to go over to America, and being free means we're going to get to do what we want to do. No, we're governed by laws. And because that we have laws, we have freedom. And that may sound like an oxymoron, but nevertheless, that's the truth. You take away the laws, and we're going back to the wild, wild west. Amen. And every man's going to do that which is right in his own eyes. Praise God. Amen. And so anyway, the law, the Lord commands us to do all of these statutes for our good, that he might preserve us alive. And that when we keep these laws, he said it's going to be for our righteousness if we observe and do all of these commandments. I want to say today that feelings are real. Your feelings are real and how that you feel about things, but they are not reliable. You cannot rely upon your feelings. Your feelings are going to change. Yesterday, you may have felt happy. Today, you may have felt disgruntled. And tomorrow, there's no telling how that you're going to feel. Amen. Your feelings are going to change. And I'm not talking about that you're sick or that you're feeling good and that you don't have any pain and such. It's just your emotions. You can wake up and you can get up on the exact same side of the bed, but metaphorically you can get up on the wrong side of the bed. And nothing has happened in life. All you did was wake up. You got up, you sat up on the edge of the bed, you stood up, and then all of a sudden you're in a bad mood. Why? Nothing's happened. It's just your feelings are fickle. Praise God. Your feelings are depicted. They are defined by this thing that we call the heart, because just life is going to teach us that the heart is the seat of emotion. And we understand that what goes in the heart depicts what comes out. And from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so if somebody is full of hatred and they're always talking about hate and hating life and hating people and hating this and hating that, it's because their heart is full of hate. I don't care what they say. Oh, you know what? I'm not necessarily a hateful person. Well, you need to go talk to your heart about that, because it's telling otherwise. Amen. But if you go talk to Brother Milby, I'll tell you something. He's full of happiness and full of encouragement and zeal. And his church floods, and he's got 2 inches of water in there. And I'm asking him how he's doing, and he's like, oh, it's going to be okay. Everything's going to be all right and stuff, you know, and everything else happens. I don't know if that man has a rainy day or not, but nevertheless, you know what? That doesn't just happen. Or I said that doesn't just happen. Amen. That's somebody keeping their heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Amen. You gotta guard your heart. You gotta safeguard your heart. Why? The Bible says that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Amen. Not only is your heart deceitful, not only will your heart trick you, not only will your heart lie to you, not only will your heart deceive you. Somebody says, well, I know my heart. You don't know your heart. Nobody knows their heart. Amen. That is a foolish statement to make. It's deceitful above all things. Your heart is more deceitful than the greatest con artist. Your heart is more deceitful than the greatest politician. Your heart is more deceitful, amen, than the most devious 2-year-old. Amen. Your heart is deceitful. Not only is it deceitful, but the Bible calls it desperately wicked. It's looking for an opportunity to do something wrong. It's looking for an opportunity to get messed up. It's looking for an opportunity to make a mess of things. It is desperately wicked. And from it, the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And all of these things come from the heart. Proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, and blasphemies. Amen. And these are the things which defile a man. But yet the man will step back and say, I'm going to trust my heart. I'm going to lean upon my feelings. I'm going to go with how I feel at this point in time. Amen. Praise God. And the devil's sitting back saying, oh yeah, I got them exactly where I want them. If my heart started telling me you're doing pretty good, I'd be heading to an altar saying, what's wrong? God, help me. I'm in need of you. If my heart said everything is fine, I'd be looking for things to figure out what was going wrong, because it's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And I'm not going to put any confidence in it. And I'm not going to put any trust in it. And I'm not going to say, well, there are times that I say I feel. But oh man, how many times do I say I got to get my feelings out of this. Amen. I got to back up and I got to go back to the values. I got to go back to the Word of God. I got to go back to the laws of God, because my feelings are susceptible. I am susceptible to allow my feelings to get me into trouble. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. When you start looking at the laws of God and the words of God, don't look at it and say, well, I feel that it means this, or I feel that it means that. Get your feelings out of it. I'm getting my feelings out of it. I'm getting back to the Word, and I want to find out exactly what the Word of God says. I want you to know tonight that I'm not just looking for verbatim, black and white, book, chapter, and verse, but there are some principles that are established in the Word of God that I need to understand to be able to apply to my life. And the principles that are there are going to keep other things out of my life that may not be so black and white in the Scripture. Amen. Praise God. Amen. You'd be saying to yourself, well, I want to know where the Bible says thou shalt not smoke cigarettes. It's not in there. It's not in there, but the principle is. And the principle overshadows all of that. The principle covers that. Amen. Somebody says, well, the Bible says that thou shalt not judge. It does. But you're not understanding the principle of it. You're not understanding the context of it. You get back and understand the context of it, and you'll understand, amen, why it is there. Praise God. But I cannot just trust my feelings and my opinions and my emotions upon these things. Amen. Because my heart is deceitful. Amen. We know that our feelings are going to change. Amen. People that you loved today, that you loved yesterday, or that you loved last week, or that you loved last year, what has happened? Friendships have parted and gone. I'm not saying that you hate them, but you're not as fond about them as you used to be. And you may have thought, oh, this is an inseparable friendship, an inseparable union, but feelings change because facts change and stuff. I'm simply saying you can never just simply trust your feelings. You've got to have a set of values that you can go back to and stand upon and measure and judge everything by them rather than your feelings. Praise God. And so God gave law. God gave law because our heart can't be trusted. Without God's command, you're going to base your entire life on what and how you feel. Without God's word. You say, well, I feel like obeying today. And tomorrow you say, I don't feel like obeying. You may say, well, I don't feel like forgiving. That's how you feel. And if you go off of what you feel, you're going to be wrong. You got to have a set of values. And our value is the Word of God. That's what we esteem there. And so we've got to go. We cannot go. But you don't know how wrong that they did me. I would guarantee you that every one of us have been in very, very similar predicaments. Very, very similar situations. But we can't base our actions upon how that we feel. We got to get back to the Word of God. And we got to see what God's Word says. So, well, I don't feel like praying today. Well, that's a feeling. But what does the Bible talk to us about and teach us about? The consistency of it. And entering into our closet and praying and such. It's more than just, because I'm telling you, there's going to be days that you don't feel like it. And if you based your actions upon how you feel, you're not going to get a whole lot done. If you predicate your worship upon how you feel, you're not going to get much worshiping done. Well, I don't feel like worshiping today. Well, what did God do to you? Well, God didn't do anything to me. Well, I don't feel like praying today. Well, why not? Well, today's been a bad day. Well, that's why you should pray. But you understand, we're not looking at feelings. We're wanting the values. We're wanting the statutes of God. We're wanting the laws of God. We have to have core values or we're going to be messed up individuals. I don't feel like being faithful. I don't feel like doing what I know that I should do. That's Paul talked about that in Romans 7. He said there's things that I should do that I don't and things that I shouldn't do that I do. And he said, I'm just carnal, sold under sin. And he wasn't justifying it any. He said, but here's the deal. If we do what we feel, then some things aren't going to get done that should have gotten done. Praise God. And it's all because of me. Not me personally, but you understand. You look at yourself and say, it's because of me. Many times the situation that we find ourselves in is because that we chose to be in that situation. Made a wrong choice at a wrong juncture. Did something, you know, whatever it was, but we based our opinion and our decision upon how we felt rather than a value, rather than a statute. Amen. And so God's law is the value system that is in our life that is going to be able to trump our feelings. Eve based her decisions upon her feelings. She looked at it and she said, the fruit looks good. It seems pleasant to the eyes. It's desirable. God had said, the serpent had questioned. Feelings decided and sin followed. And so the first sin in history was the putting of feelings and desires above God's word. That's how quick it can get you into trouble. We could look at Saul and we could say that his decisions, bad decisions, was based upon his feelings. God said, annihilate everything. Saul felt a little bit differently. He spared Agag. He spared the best of the sheep and he had good intentions to sacrifice them unto the Lord, but he wasn't obedient. He did not value the word of God. And so he did his own thing, his own way. And when Samuel got there, Samuel told him that obedience is better than sacrifice. Praise God. And so God is never impressed when your feelings rewrite his commandments. You've got to stick to the word of God. You've got to stick to the word of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. I may not do anything more than just set a foundation for next week or for Sunday or for whatever it is. Amen. But I'm just telling you, amen, there is, when we look at the societal collapse of our generation and our world, it's all based upon people's opinions and feelings, and they have strayed away from values. You can go to America. You can pull out the Declaration of Independence. That's our values, okay? But how many of those values have we strayed away from? We're not even looking at those values. We're not even paying attention to those values. We're over here shouting and screaming and decrying and all of these other things and throwing bricks through buildings and burning down buildings and all of this saying, amen, that's not the way we want, you know, our feelings. Our feelings, our feelings, our feelings. And it's destroying the economical and the societal foundation of America. And that's the way that it is over the entire world. But you know what? It didn't start just with that. You can go all the way back to the Bible days. And in the book of Judges, you could see where the Bible said that in those days there was no king in Israel. Guess what? When there's no king, there's no laws. When there's no king, there's no rule. And when there's no king, what did everybody do? The Bible said, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. I want you to notice that the Bible does not say that every man did that which was evil in his own eyes. It does not say that every man did that which was evil. It just simply said that every man did that which was right in his own eyes. They all perceived it different. And because that there was not a law that governed that country, that nation, because that there there was not a king that enforced the statutes about it. Amen. It was chaotic, and every man did that which was right in his own eye. Everyone sincerely believed that they were doing right, but sincerity does not equate to truth. You can say follow your heart. You can say if it feels good, then do it. And that's what society says. But the Bible teaches us, follow after God and His ways, and lean not to your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge Him. He shall direct your path. This is what the Bible teaches. One philosophy makes self the authority. The other makes God the authority. Amen. And when it all comes down to it, it is the value. It is the statutes of God against nothing more than our simple, fickle feelings. This is the way that I feel. And the reason for all of laws is that people cannot rely upon their feelings to do that which is right. Amen. When we come to God, amen, it is a different system. Amen. When an individual walks into the house of God and they've never been there, they begin to look at things and say, this is crazy. Amen. This is different. This is weird. And they look at our way of worship, and they look at our ways of dress, and they look at the things that we do. And the more that they become acquainted with it, they see that there's some things that we don't do. Amen. And the more that they look at it, they say, I don't understand it. And you can even begin to talk to them about it, teach a Bible study about it. But where it begins to create friction is when it comes to the law versus their feelings. Amen. God's word versus how I feel. Amen. God's word of old. Amen. Versus how I feel currently in this day and age. It's the argument of that's the Bible days, and we're living in this day, and that which is applied back then does not apply over here. Amen. But if that's the way that we're going to be, amen, everything is going to disperse and fall apart. Amen. And everything is going to be chaotic. We've got to continue to stand upon the values and the statutes of God. Amen. It's easy to understand. Amen. The Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not kill. Even our world recognizes that and holds it obedient and can make it life for life. The world would understand the importance of thou shalt not steal. Amen. Even though some would continue to do it. But yet there is a law, and there's felonies and misdemeanors that are applied to it. The world can understand, amen, the danger of committing adultery. The world can understand, amen, why that we should not lie. The world can understand all of those things and can accept them. But there's a whole lot of things in the Word of God that began to creep up and cause questions. And people, they don't look at the Word. They just simply step back and say, I feel. Friend, that's the dangerous part. Well, I believe. That's the dangerous part. Well, I see it. That's the dangerous part. We've got to get in the Word of God, amen, and find the value system that God has placed in our lives. The world is so messed up. It's crazy that they feel the way that they feel. They will actually applaud lewdness, nudeness. Oh, yeah. Yeah, can I just be pastor here for a little while today? Ladies and men alike can walk around in such tight fitting clothes that inappropriately expose the body, accentuating the body that should not. Why? Because the body belongs to God. It's the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's what the Bible said. It's the temple of the Holy Ghost. But you know what we're doing? We're doing exactly what Isaiah said in chapter number 40 that we talked about last week, and we're going to get into it more. Amen. We're decking out this idol with chains of gold and chains of silver and all of this other thing. Hey, amen. Why? It's making me look more attractive. It's making me look more beautiful, and it's making me, amen, more this and more that. Amen. And they don't understand. And God's saying, whoa, 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 whoa. Amen. You're not for anybody else. You're mine. Praise God. I want you to know that God doesn't feel the same way, amen, that the men in this world feel. Amen. When their wives would walk around in such lewdness and in such tight outfits, and amen, and they just think that that's the greatest thing, and they'll post it, and they'll make mention of it. Amen. God doesn't feel that way. God's like, no, this is my child. Ah, this is my child. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But when you begin to talk about that, amen, people get shy from that and start saying, well, I feel this. Amen. It doesn't matter how I feel about it. I got to get back to the Word of God. And the Word of God tells me that I'm supposed to be modest. The Word of God tells me that I'm supposed to cover up. Amen. Jameson and Grayson preached it here last night when they said, the Bible says, where clothes. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. I just want you to know here today that it's not the will of God. It's against the laws of God. Amen. For people to run around, amen, exposing their bodies in nakedness and such like that. Why? Because we belong to God. We don't belong to ourselves. But when you belong to yourself, you're going to wear what you want to wear. You're going to do what you want to do. You're going to be what you want to be. And what it is your feelings, amen, are what warring against the value system of God, and you don't have the understanding and the enlightenment, and God is saying you don't belong to yourself anymore. I found you in a world of sin, amen, and the soul that sinneth it shall surely die, and I found you on death row. I found you, amen, where the enemy was ready to destroy you, and I walked in and I took your place, and I died for you and shed blood so that you could go free. I purchased your redemption. You don't belong to yourself anymore. You belong to me. You are mine and mine alone. Amen. If you want to go to hell, you can walk away from God. If you want to be lost forever, amen, you can go do what you want to do, but you are an idol unto yourself. But if you will understand that God's commandments are for your good. Amen. I said they are for your good. God's doing it because he loves you. God's doing it because he cares. God's doing it because, amen, it's the relationship and the value of relationship between you and him. Praise God. Praise God. It's amazing how many people want to be governed by their feelings when it comes to their feelings that get them into so much trouble. Amen. Their feelings their feelings don't have the best, record. Amen. That gets them into somebody said, oh no, mine does. It's setting you up for a big failure. Amen. Praise God. I just want you to know this. Where were you before God found you? And how did those feelings work? Amen. Back then. But when God found you, he changed your feelings and he helped your feelings and he got your feelings balanced out. And you've been making some pretty good decisions, but you take God out of the picture. You take God out of the equation. And before you know it, you're going to be a raging alcoholic. You'll be messed up out there in this world all because of your feelings. I got to have this. I want this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to be my own man. I'm going to be my own woman. Hey, I'm not going to do what God said. And God is saying, I gave you commandments, but they were for your good. I was looking out for you. I saw how the devil was going to destroy you and the path that he was going to take you down and the path of destruction. Amen. But I put some boundaries out about you. Amen. To keep you in the way of purity so that you could have the best of life. He said, I did it for your good. Praise God. Amen. If we're honest with ourselves, we have to understand that values and feelings are not the same thing. Somebody can be talking to you about their values, and they can say, well, you know, this is a value to me. And you can say, well, your values aren't my values. Therefore, I look at your values as feelings. Your values to me are nothing more than just strong opinions. But if we're going to dismiss everything, including values, as feelings, then let's just take the word value completely out of the dictionary. Let's just erase it totally. There are no values. But that's not. Amen. A value is simply the importance, the worth, usefulness of something, moral principles, beliefs, and standards that guides a person's behavior. You can say, well, still, your values are your opinions. Your values are your feelings. They're not my values. That's why when we come to a place like this, it's not my values. It's God's values. Because I can't trust my heart to set my own values. I can't trust my heart to set my own laws. You know why? Because what I set as a law today, I'll justify sometime down the future and I'll write it off. You know why? Because it was just mine. But when Jesus came into my life, you know, I'm reminded of the children of Israel. They were pleading and begging and doing everything that they could. They was probably fasting too. Oh God, send us a deliverer. We need a deliverer. I want you to know it was 80 years before they got a deliverer. 80 years. Because first of all, 80 years and 9 months at least. Because first of all, Moses had to be born. And then Moses was in Pharaoh's court for 40 years. And then he was on the backside of a wilderness for 40 years. And then he came back to deliver. We get all upset because God hasn't answered our prayer that we prayed on Monday. Israel's praying for 80 years. God, send us a deliverer! And all of a sudden, here comes Moses. And you know what? Just a few days, a few weeks, or however long it was into it, they're like, yeah, you know what? I don't know if I like this. You know, all these plagues going on and stuff, and a little bit scary. But then they left. They went out, but they didn't even make it to the Red Sea. They made it to the Red Sea, and all they're all saying, oh, you brought us out here to kill us. Fickle feelings. And when they were walking out of Egypt, they was just like, yeehaw! But just down the road, all of a sudden at the Red Sea, they're moaning and groaning and complaining. And so then they get across the Red Sea and they're all back in a good mood again. They're all happy and they're singing. Miriam's playing the tambourine. They're singing a song. They're all dancing about and such. That don't last long either. They turn around and they're like, well, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? You've brought us out here to kill us. So, miraculously, a rock starts producing water. Wake up every morning, and there's Uber Eats, or what are they called? DoorDash. God was DoorDashing before DoorDashing was cool. Bringing manna straight to their tent door. Calling in the quail at night. Got flesh. They're all living it up. Man, this is great. God said, I got an announcement to make. Well, we're going to get tortillas tomorrow. Steak tomorrow. No, you're going to line up and I'm going to give you some laws. Do what? Say that again. I'm going to give you some laws. Wait a second. I thought we were free. We don't live in Egypt anymore. Egypt had laws. I thought we were free. Some people got this misnomer. They come into the house of God. It's like, I get to do what I want to do, be who I want to be, say what I want to say, and all this stuff, but I'm free. I accepted the Lord as my personal Savior. I'm free. I'm free. And then all of a sudden, God comes down and he says, I want to talk to you about some laws. Excuse me? Laws? Maybe you didn't see the clause that I saw. Free. He that the Son has set free is free indeed. What are these laws? God's saying, if you want my protection, if you want my provision, if you want my glory, you're going to abide by some laws. Why are you so shocked when Egypt had all those laws? They told you when to go to bed, when to get up, what you were going to pay, how much work you were going to do. And you moaned and groaned and complained about all of that. And then you get into the kingdom of God and God provides and God blesses and God helps and stuff. And God says, there's some laws. We ought to look at and say, it's the perfect law of liberty. If we want the glory of God to be in this place, then there's some laws and some things that we've got to make sure that we keep clean and that we keep keep correct, keep right. Praise God. And so God meticulously began to spend time. And at first he started talking to him. He said, number one, how many of these are there going to be? You know, the crazy thing is God was sufficient in all reality. God was suffice with one. And even in the New Testament, he said, upon the law, all the law of the prophets, you can hang them upon these two. Love the Lord your God as with all of your heart, soul, mind, strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Upon these two hang all the law of the prophets. God be okay with two. But you know why there's more than two? Because of our feelings. Because of our feelings. He got to talk about lying because we got a problem with lying. Because we're trying to keep us looking good. He's got to talk about sexual immoralities and stuff because we feel that we deserve that. We're better than what we have. He's got to give us laws about not stealing because we got to have it. I deserve that. They don't need that. It's going to be mine. Laws about coveting and all these other laws because of us. That's it. And you know, the crazy thing is God was sufficient with 10. But by the time that they had stretched and everything else like that, they had over 650 something of them. All these laws out there. God just simply said, keep the Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath, he said, like that. He said, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Well, before it was done, I mean, let's just talk about it. They're in the wilderness and they had a flea. But if they were scratching a flea, they were guilty of hunting on the Sabbath. That's the truth. That's the truth. They made it so tight. God said, I'm fine with 10. That'd be okay. But it's all because of these feelings. If we want the glory of God in our church, and we want the blessings of God in our church, we got to make sure that we don't get caught up in a feeling. Well, I feel this. Sometimes that's okay, but we need to make sure that we're basing upon the principles, the statutes of God, because my feelings can get us in a whole lot of trouble. Your feelings can get us in a whole lot of trouble. To associate values and feelings in the same way is not going to turn out good. Deuteronomy 4 and 5, he said, I've taught you the statutes and the judgments. And so there was relational and moral that was there. And the moral values of thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, and all those were understandable. But then there was the relational values of the why behind the law. So I'll explain it to you like this, and I'm getting ready to close. It's, I don't remain faithful to my wife because that adultery is prohibited. I remain faithful because I value the relationship. I value my life too, but I value the relationship. the boundaries of relationship that you have between you and your spouse are important. And you do it because of the relationship that you have one with another. Jesus said it like this. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Not keep my commandments so that I will love you. But obedience flows out of relationship. And this is why we need laws. They're not fickle. They shouldn't be ever changing. They shouldn't be changing with the times and such. Laws don't change because of certain names. It doesn't matter what your last name is. The law is the law. The word of God is the word of God. And just because your last name is whatever, whether you can spell it or not, it doesn't matter. The law is settled forever there. Praise God. That's the way that it is. I'm talking about God's law pertaining unto us, because I've got a way of getting things messed up. Just as much as 2 + 2, let's stand. Just as much as 2 + 2 = 4. Amen. No matter how you feel about it. And that kid may argue until the sun goes down that it's 5, but it doesn't change it. 2 + 2 = 4. Amen. Because the number is objective. Value is objective. Truth exists independent of our feelings. It doesn't matter whether we like it or we don't like it. Truth is truth. Truth was not created by a majority vote. Amen. Lord said, sanctify them with truth, for thy word is truth. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And I think that this is a foundational piece of what we're going to get into. Because there's a lot of things. And people have a way of pointing at Pentecost and say, you bunch of old timers stuck in the mud, this and that. And they accuse of all these other things. And they don't understand the Bible. And the only thing that they want to say is, that's for Bible days. The only thing that they want to say is, that's not for us today. And that's nothing but their feelings, because they don't have Bible. They don't have law for all of that. But the value system of humanity has dive bombed to the place that you have men with men, women with women, when it still stands against the laws of God. But yet the church is criticized because they still hold that value. The church is despised because we still hold the value. And we're ridiculed. God loves everybody. God is love. And they're taking everything out of context and twisting it up and turning it around and throwing it back at us. We just got to keep standing. We got to keep standing. It doesn't matter what it is. They ridiculed us because of the way that our ladies look. Ridicule us because of the way that our men look. Ridicule us because of the way that we keep our hair. Ridicule. They don't understand. They don't understand the value of things. They don't understand the relational value of the law. They're simply talking from their feelings. And when you start talking, depicting, deciding, deciphering with your feelings, it's going to come up wrong. Go back to the book. Get in the book. Amen. And see what God has to say about it. But God painted a pretty picture. He painted a very elaborate picture about those idols. And he said, to whom will you liken? Unto God. He said, the workman crafts this image. And he overlays it with gold and silver and costly array. And he said, even he that is so impoverished that he hath no money, he has no sacrifice, no, he'll choose a tree that will not rot. and he'll still overlay it with everything that he can overlay it. And friend, humanity is following in that pattern step for step. We've become gods unto ourselves. And the gods are that they have decked themselves with gold and decked themselves with silver and chains and costly array. And Peter stood up in his book and he wrote and he said, it's not the wearing of gold or silver or costly array. In other words, he said, don't do as the heathen did. You belong to God. Well, I feel different. We see how that gets us in trouble. I want to make sure that I'm right with God and that I'm not becoming an idol unto myself. Amen? Praise God. Let's spend some time in prayer. Somebody needs to come and needs to put this upon an altar here tonight. Somebody needs to lay it on the altar and start weighing some things out.